Well, good morning.
Good morning.
After 4 months of being separated and unable to worship our Lord together, it's wonderful to come back in His presence today and to worship Him with great joy in our hearts. We didn't get to say this at Easter time. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God has brought us through a difficult time of separation. Could any of us have imagined something like this happening, something so sudden and universal in its impact that, of course, we're in very much in the midst of right now? Our only sadness today is that some are unable to be with us. And we want to continue to pray for those who do not feel they're ready to be here yet and look forward to the day when we can all be together again. That day will come. We're grateful to the Lord for the ways He has provided for us over the past 12 months, or 4 months rather. Some of you have suffered the passing of loved ones, and though it was very challenging for this to happen during a time of pandemic, yet the Lord poured out His grace in every instance. And there were several situations where someone was not allowed to be with their loved one, but prayer reversed things in each case. And in our wider congregation, no one has lacked care, and everyone has been well provided for. And we thank God for that. We have had a few people who have tested positive for the virus, and we have one who is at home today still with some symptoms who we want to be praying for. But we're thankful that so far God has kept us all in good health. We found innovative ways to stay connected during this time through telephone calls and Zoom meetings, online services, weekly prayer times, midweek inspiration. And you have continued to support the work of the church through your participation and giving and prayers. We had the joy of giving to the Hope Center, to Shirley's Soul Food, and to support missionaries in northern India. And we have another mission project in the works that you're soon going to be hearing about. Also, a new waterproof seal was added onto the roof of the education wing. So, things have been happening. We have not been sitting back. The work of the Lord has continued. And you have been active in prayer, in reaching out to one another, in giving of your time and talents. Many of you worked behind the scenes to see that all the online communications were done with artistry and beauty and excellence. There were those who faithfully carried on all the necessary functions of our church despite all the inconveniences. And then there were the planners and worker bees, and even a seamstress who worked so diligently to bring this day of safe gathering about. We're so thankful because we realize that it was all through our Lord's mercy and love that we have come through to this day. And it is in the same love that we are going to come to the end of this time as His gathered people. And it is in this love that we gather together today. We may have very different attitudes and feelings about the closings and protocols related to this pandemic, but we are united in the desire to show Christ's love for one another. Those who are stronger or who have little worry about the virus are wearing masks today for the sake of those who are more susceptible or anxious. In Romans, Paul instructed the church to decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Not being sensitive to protocols that are important to another person could become just such a hindrance. But we thank God that all of us are willing to submit to one another in love. We thank you all for the orderly way you entered today, and that you're sitting well spaced and the place you are sitting in right now will become your permanent spot. And next week, your name will be affixed there, so that we're able to use the hymnals and the Bibles and not worry about the spread of the virus. At the end of the service today, we will be dismissing you row by row, beginning at the back. And we only ask that while we are in the building, there be no gatherings to socialize. And once outside, please remember to maintain your proper social distancing and stay safe. So having said all that, I invite Nancy to come forward, and we're going to join together in worship today. And we're going to be reading you a call to worship that comes from selections of the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through Psalm 134 in the Psalms are these Psalms of Ascent that the psalmist would recite as they went up to God at the festival time to worship in the temple. And we have various selected scriptures from that that we're going to be reading for you now. In my distress, I called to the Lord. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool.
Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord.
To you we lift up our eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Please join me with your hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, after going through such a time and still in a time of isolation in order to be healthy, Lord, we have all experienced what it means to be apart from one another, our family, our friends. And you can't help but think back to the garden when you first made Adam, and after the fall, how you were looking for him and you called him. You were asking, "Where are you?" And you found him. And we thank you, O God, that you are a God who calls us. You made us and designed us to be close to you and close to one another. We thank you, O God, that before we were made, you knew us. Before we were born, you loved us. And this is all by grace, O Lord. We have each experienced in our own time in our lives since we've been born your call. Where are you? And you have found us and you have brought us to yourself. And today we're here gathered in this place because you are the one that is called. And we thank you, O Lord, that we come and we're not naked. We are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for each of us, for your church. So we thank you, O God, that we can come and we are not alone. You are here with us and you have joined us together. And we lift up our hearts to you. For there is no one like you who is abounding in such grace, kindness, love, and mercy. And we thank you that we can be here with you. Oh, hear the praises in our hearts, O God. Stir and deepen our hearts that we may know you more, see you more clearly, and love you more dearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to turn with me, actually, in your hymnals today, the blue book in front of you. And in the very back of the hymnal, there are some of our songs, and we're going to read Psalm 84 together. And you'll find a number that says 705. So turn way in the back of the hymnal. It's before the index. And you'll find number 705, which is Psalm 84. I'd like to just share a little bit before we read so we can imagine the setting of the psalm. This is a psalm celebrating pilgrimage to Jerusalem in order to worship in the temple. It is especially focused on the delight of going to worship there. The purpose of singing this psalm is to cultivate that delight, to open the eyes and the hearts of God's people to the staggering privilege of being a welcome guest in God's house, and to write deep into our souls the conviction that wickedness offers no reward that can even come remotely, compared to the joy and the pleasure of God's house. The psalm has three parts, in each of which God's people are pronounced blessed. Blessed are those who dwell in the house of the Lord. Blessed are those who find their strength in the God of Zion. And blessed are those who trust in the Lord of hosts. Let us now read this psalm together in unison. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make its place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk his ways. O Lord God, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
I love those words. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. We had a doorkeeper this morning. Did anyone see our doorkeeper? Milo was our doorkeeper. And Milo, there's a verse for your life. You can remember this day when you welcomed God's people back after the virus. What an important role you played this morning. and you were a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And it says here, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. We thank you, thankful for your help today, Maya. At this time, we'd like to sing very quietly and seated a hymn together. And we're going to sing it a cappella without accompaniment. And it is hymn number 280. And Nancy and I are going to lead it with our masks on because they've discovered that singing throws out more virus. You want to sing very quietly, but with all our hearts. If that makes sense, we can do that. So hymn number 280, I love thy kingdom, Lord. I love thy kingdom, Lord. But now we really believe that God has called us back. And in some ways it doesn't make sense because the virus continues to grow and there are more cases. And yet we believe that we can be here safely and at a distance and with our masks. And to be able to be together is so important, isn't it? To be able to be with one another in the presence of God holds great, great blessing. In fact, I would say that there is no greater joy that we can know in this life, no greater source of blessing than to gather together in the presence of God to worship Him and to receive His grace. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now that was spoken by a pilgrim who was going up to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. And they only went up 3 times a year. It was required in the law of Moses that all 12-year-old boys who had been bar mitzvahed and all men would go, and the families could accompany them and usually did. And they would go up 3 times a year for these festivals that recall the wonderful work of God in history and provided the means for them to be forgiven by God and to renew their covenant, their oaths to God, and to rejoice in His love for them. So they would do this, and here is this man who is saying, I was glad when that time came. And the people were saying, let us go up to the house of the Lord. In Old Testament times, the house of the Lord was very different than the way we use that expression today. When we say this is God's house, we of course are just saying that this is a place where we meet. It's a place set apart where we need to worship God. But when the Jews said that, let us go to the house of the Lord, they were talking about God's very special dwelling place where God dwelt over the ark and where God's presence was known and his glory dwelt. God's presence with the people at that time was very localized and very physical. So though you could worship God in your own personal life, even though you could go in Christ's day to synagogue and hear scripture taught, though you could gather together and sing to God, when you went to Jerusalem and went into the temple courts, you were in the presence of God in a way that was really extraordinary. And He received the people's worship and He forgave them. He renewed their hearts in His presence. And so people found such joy and strengthening and grace by going up to God's dwelling place to meet with God. Now, we live in an even better time because God's presence with us is not localized. We don't need to go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to experience the extraordinary outpouring of God's grace in worship. We get grace as we worship individually at home. We can get grace as we pray together as couples and as families. But the thing is that God now has indwelt. His special presence dwells in the midst of the gathering of His people, wherever we may be. Jesus Christ came into this world to make that possible. He came into the world, and John says that He came and He tabernacled, He dwelt with us, and He became the new temple of God. And wherever we are united to Christ through faith, we have through Him access into the very presence of God. And I mean that extraordinary access where God's grace is poured out and where He is entirely present to us. And there's something about the corporate worship, the gathering of God's people, that is extraordinary. It isn't different from the grace that you get at home when you're alone, but it may be the degree and the access and the way that God is present and the way that the Spirit is working. And I think we can sense that today, can't you? At some deep level, isn't there a sense that there's something different about being here and being in God's presence together as a people as compared to being in our homes? There's something substantially different when we come in faith. And the amazing thing is that it doesn't matter whether we're in this room, this space today, or if we went across the street into a parking lot, or we gathered in someone's house, or two or more gathered in Christ's name, Jesus promised, there I am in their midst. Now, he didn't say, when you pray to me, there I am. He said, when two or more gather. He was talking about the gathering. You see, it's what God's desire is to gather us together in love. Sin breaks us apart. It fragments us. It causes violence and hatred and mistrust. And the beauty of the gospel is that it brings people back together in relationships of love with God. United in Christ, indwelt by the love of God through the Holy Spirit. So, today I just wanted to say a few words about the nature of the joy, the unsurpassing joy that you and I can know through our corporate worship, through our gathering together. And I submit that there is no joy to be found like unto it. There is no greater delight. There is no greater means of being in the presence of God. There is no more wonderful way to receive God's grace than what happens as we come together as His people. And we often lose sight of that and fail to recognize that. And, of course, it's only something that we experience when we have faith and understanding, and understanding faith that then is purposeful and intentional in its approach to God. So, one of the reasons we sometimes fail to experience this joy and delight in worship is because, one, we don't yet have life within us, okay? That can be a reason. That this new life that we receive through Christ, that's called regeneration, the spiritual life of God being given to a person who repents of sins and places their trust in Jesus alone for their acceptance of God. If you haven't experienced that work of God in your life, your worship may be a time for socializing. It may be a nice time to get together with people. But it won't have this quality that I'm talking about, of this unsurpassed joy in the presence of God and the reception of His grace into your life. So that could be part. That could be the problem. Secondly, the problem could be that we just have lost sight of what God intends our worship to be. And you know, we're creatures of habit. So we get used to just going through the routine. And we come to church because we've always gone to church, and we know what to expect, and we sit in our pew, and we go home, and nothing is happening. No electricity. No grace. No heartfelt worship. Why? Because we're not coming in faith. We're not coming with expectancy. We're not coming understanding what God is desiring to do in this time, what He's promised to do as we come to Him in faith. Or we could be coming, thirdly, the problem might be that we haven't prepared our hearts. You know, these hearts of ours are easily clogged up and distracted, and they get dried out. And
In order to worship God, the heart needs to be refreshed and renewed and prepared, cultivated for that event. And if we just walk into a worship service, you know, a few minutes beforehand and sit down for 30 seconds and say a prayer and think that our hearts are going to be warmed up, oh no. No, we're not going to be in as right condition to worship the Lord. So we need to take time before worship. It might begin the night before. It's like stoking a furnace and putting the wood on and getting the flames going. And then in the morning when you get up, you take the poker and you go into the coals and you get that flame going again, throw more wood on so that there's warmth. And as you come to worship, there needs to be that warmth in your heart. And you get that warmth in your heart by gazing upon Jesus and remembering his love for you, what he has done for you in the gospel, and who he is to you by grace, and how his arms are open to you in this worship, and how he wants to meet you and bless you. And you come expectant. You come with your heart aflame to worship him, to give thanks to him, to praise him, to receive from him. You're hungry. That's worship. That's how all of us are called to be coming into this place. And you see, when we all do that, and we come together as little flames, what happens? We all come with our little flame burning, and then we're united, and we start singing together, and praying together, and hearing God's word together. And the little flames in our hearts just become roared on fires. And we experience something truly divine. That's what worship is to be to us. And so we need life. We need understanding of what it's to be. We need to be people who prepare our hearts for it. And then we can experience the joys and delights of it. Now the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, and worship is all about gathering together with people that we love. And one of the great sources of our worship, and what makes it really unique, is that we're coming together as brothers and sisters who have known the same grace of forgiveness, who have been humble before God, who have known the same Spirit being poured into our hearts, who have known the same love of the Father adopting us and reconciling us to himself, to his own heart, who have the same ambitions, the same identity, the desire to serve God, the realization that we are his people, that we are born again in Jesus Christ. We could go on and talk about all of the things that we share together as the people of God. And it is in that commonality together that we find our delight. It isn't just that we're friends, that we've known each other for a long time, but it's really our commonality in the blessings of God that we find our delight. It's knowing that you are loved unconditionally by someone in this church. It's knowing that someone will say the hard thing to you in love. It's knowing that someone will forgive you no matter what you've done as you repent. It's knowing that someone will be there with you to encourage you, to stir up your heart in the things of God, to help you to walk in faith and in love and in hope. That's what we're to be for one another. And in order to do that, we need to be able to talk about these things together and discuss these things together. That's what makes worship to be a delight. When we can be in those sort of relationships one with another. Our worship is also a delight because we're coming to a triune God. When you come to worship, conceive of your worship as coming to a triune God. You're coming to a God through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is within you and is going to be indwelling the worship, and that Spirit desires to give you joy. The Holy Spirit is within you to give you great delight in God, to stir up your heart, to be able to see who He is and what He's done for you. So as you come into worship, understand that the Holy Spirit is indwelling your heart as one who has trusted in Christ for your righteousness. That Spirit has worked in you. That Spirit, He is in you to fill your heart with joy in worship. And understand that it is His delight to make Jesus come alive to you. And so set your mind on Christ. Most of all, set your mind on Jesus and what He has done for you. How He laid down His life for you. How He gave Himself and took your curse and bore your punishment in your place. And how He now lives for you and is your great high priest. Set your gaze on Him and all that He is to you. And understand that through Him, you're not coming to a judge. You're not coming to one like a criminal, coming to a judge who stands over you with a stick or with a threatening, but you're coming to one who has been brought to peace with you, reconciled to you, a Father who has loved you from before the foundation of the world, and who through Jesus now you have freedom of access into the fullness of His presence. You don't need to come through a priest. You don't need to come through any other sacrifice, because Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the priest. And Jesus has torn the curtain that separated you from God, and you have full access into His presence. His extraordinary, stunning presence in all its fullness. And Christ's arms are open to you. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. The Father's arms are open to you. He has loved you. You are His own beloved. You are His adopted child. And He can love you no more. He will never love you less than He does right now, this moment, through Jesus Christ. So that's what warms our heart for worship, as you understand the Holy Spirit and Jesus and your Father, the tri-person Godhead. And how they together, one God in three persons, are all there to receive you and to draw you into the love of His body and to pour out grace for every need in your life. That gets you excited to come to worship. That makes you expectant. That fills your heart with joy. Where else can you go and experience that? You see. So that is the joy of worship to us. And oh, so much more we could say today. But today as we close, I just want to encourage you that this indeed is a day of joy for us. And I pray that all of our hearts are sensing that indeed there is something wondrous about our gathering here together. And that God is present here for you. And that what happens here is very powerful and extraordinary. You know, the preaching of the word can be something that is very, very powerful, not because of the preacher, but because the Holy Spirit delights to use the preaching in the midst of His gathered people. You can sit at home and listen to a great preacher online, but it's not the same as coming together as God's people in faith and hearing God speaking through His gathered people in this extraordinary presence right unto your heart. That's the joy of worship, and each element of the service is so important because of that. So I'd like to invite you now to take your hymnal, and we're going to turn again to the back of the hymnal, and I'd like us to read together a wonderful expression
of our faith and love in God called the Te Deum, and it's found on page 719 in the back of the hymnal, right before the index. And let us read this today as our affirmation of faith together and our great joy in the Lord in whom we trust. Let us read together. We praise thee, O God. We acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of the martyrs praise thee. The holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son, also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou lookest upon thee to deliver men, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hast overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of the Father, in the glory of the Father. We believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee, help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save thy people and bless thy heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify thee, and we worship thy name ever, world without end. Vouchsafe, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us as we trust in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted. Let me never be confounded. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.